Welcome to Fear the Boot, bonus episode number 35. My name is Dan.
My name is Spike.
We'll come back to you, jackass.
This is Johan.
Wow, I didn't know we had someone from Transformers on here. Wow,
it's Spike.
And this is Wayne, by the way.
So, we normally keep ourselves about an episode ahead, so that way I'm not in a rush to edit things, because we record on a Tuesday night, release on a Wednesday, and I don't like having that 24-hour rush to get an episode edited. So, with Johan here, we're doing a double header of two episodes, so to make this a little easier on ourselves, we decided to make the second one a bonus episode. For any of you that are tuning into Fear the Boot for the first time, bonus episodes tend to be very raw, very off the cuff, very off subject.
They're horrible. Don't listen to them. Go back to a good episode like 21.
I'd just say go back to 210. I'm actually pleased with the one we just recorded. Of course, by the time we've gotten the reviews, I may have changed my mind. But yeah, as it sits right now,
by the time you edit it,
you know what? Since it's a bonus episode, I'm on a tangent already. The worst part of doing this show is the audio editing.
Sure.
It is worth doing because of the fact that I know it drastically increases the quality of what we release. And that's something that I've had people come back to me after guesting on the show and saying they didn't realize just how much the editing changed the show until they hear the before and after. So I will keep on doing it. But it is painful sitting there listening to the show line by line, deleting out things.
You know, my favorite
Chris and Pat mumble too much.
My favorite comment about this, though, Dan, is someone, and I will not name any name whatsoever. We had someone on once who afterwards listened to it and came back and said, you know, wow, that was amazing. You guys do next to no editing, but it turned out so well. And you cut like 20 minutes worth of stumbling.
No, 25. 25 minutes. The end result episode was a little bit under an hour. Literally one third of that show got cut. And he's like, I can't believe how little editing you do.
Was this Chad?
No, this was not Chad. I'm with Wayne. I will not name the names on this one, but it wasn't Chad. So actually, the topic that we have for this bonus episode.
Before you get to the topic, I would like to say, from a listener's perspective on the editing, you've ruined other podcasts for me. I can't listen to other amateur podcasts. Can't do it. I can listen to professional radio shows that are converted into podcast form, but like other RPG podcasts, stuff like that, if I didn't start listening to it before I started listening to Fear the Boot, I can't pick it up and do it now because they just sound horrible.
You know what? The editing process has ruined me on radio because I'll be sitting there listening to, like, I don't know, let's say an interview on NPR. And if I hear someone who stutters and stumbles a lot, all I can hear is how hard they would be to edit. And I start having flashbacks and dealing with Pat or Chris, and I can't listen to it. I have to change the channel.
I am not as bad as Chris.
Chris talks.
That may be part of it.
I don't. Wait, what are you talking about, Chris?
We do have Chris on here.
Whenever Chris talks, I can typically look at the sound wave, and I will see maybe the first 3 or 4 seconds. I don't even have to listen to it. I just highlight and delete it. And I might get to the start of the sentence because he's like a car on a cold morning. It takes him about 6 tries before the engine finally starts going. But then he has something good to say.
That's what Julie always told me, too. So, yeah.
Really? I heard you press the gas once and he's out. So.
Well, that's after he's choked a few, 2 or 3 times.
Her or him?
Yes.
So the topic that I want to talk about, and I've got some tangents that I'm sure we won't even get to because of tangents that will tangent us away from the tangents. If you could be instantly transported to a fictional setting, okay, and this has to be one that the listeners would be able to recognize, at least some of them would be able to recognize, but right now, some divine being comes down and says, I'm going to transport you to a fictional setting, your choice. You can even take on whatever role in that setting you want. Only limitations we're putting on this, no gods or godlike beings. Okay, you have to be something of a relatively reasonable power level. Where would you go? What would you be? And why?
I'm going to be Louis from Interview with a Vampire because that angst is just so sexy. That's completely not true. I just don't have an answer for you.
I don't know who Louis is. Who was Louis in that?
Louis was the main character, one who gets converted and he is so sad. And, I can't think
Tom
of who
Cruise?
Played him. No, that's Lestat.
No, Tom Cruise was Lestat.
I figured where you were going
Brad
with that was
it was Brad,
Brad. Okay.
I want to be an Interview with a Vampire because it'll be so boring that Dan won't pay attention to anything I'm saying after about 30 minutes.
You know, I'm sure I'll come up with a better answer as other people say things, but the first thing that popped into my mind when you're describing this was Reginald Barclay from Star Trek The Next Generation, the guy that had the obsession with the holodeck, because how cool would it be to have a holodeck, to be able to actually go in there and say,
Matt, you realize
whatever you want to be. And yes, I realize this is a neurotic neurosis character that has a unhealthy reception.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind, though.
He was borderline sociopathic, I believe.
How cool would it be to have a holodeck? And if I had one, wouldn't I end up having those issues anyway? Yes, I would. Might as well be a character that already does.
You know what, Wayne, I was going to debate that and say, but you know what? You could be a healthy, well-adjusted character in the setting and still go to the holodeck.
No, but I wouldn't be myself.
But I think the raw honesty of the end of that answer pretty much completely blocked anything I would say of, yeah, just cut out the middleman and get right to the point.
I mean, let's face it. You know me. If I had a holodeck, the neurosis would come out. I would never want to leave it.
So let me explain why I'm asking this question or where this comes from. Like a lot of geeks, I spend way too much time daydreaming. That's actually one of the few ways I can get myself to fall asleep at night, is I will just daydream about whatever.
And you know, I've got another good way for you to fall asleep at night.
Doesn't work for me. I actually had a mental health professional suggest that and doesn't work for me.
Damn, dude. That sucks.
But no.
Well, you know what? Practice makes perfect, so you should keep trying.
Pat, it's one of two things. It's daydreaming. Well, actually, one of three. Daydreaming will do it. If I read a novel, that will eventually quiet my mind to the point that I can sleep. Or prescribe narcotics. It's one of the three.
I have the obsessive daydream sometimes. I have control issues. If I'm not in control, it's bothering me. So I have to keep my mind active doing something else. Mm. I have the constant daydream while riding in a car of Spider-Man going along the power lines on the side of the road, swinging back and forth.
Do you ever actually see Spider-Man going back and forth while somebody's driving you around?
Only in my head. Because okay, I look.
That's good to know.
I actually think about it. I was like, well, if Spider-Man were here, where would he
scoot back a little?
Where would he hit the web? Where would he hit his webbing here? There's no power lines here. How would he travel?
You just went from suggesting Spider-Maning to warning against it. All right. So for me, I got two that tie, and I'm trying to pick a winner here. I'll tell you the two that tie, and then by the end of this answer, I will have picked a winner. Thought number one would be, I would love to be a king in Narnia, because being surrounded by this completely idealized medieval society that's full of wonderment and, despite its adventure, a whole lot of innocence, talking animals, it just seems like a really cool place to be. Plus, on top of that, when you're done, you go back to the real world and have an age today. You get to live two lifetimes. And I love the setting. And I love the idea of being able to basically live an entire mulligan life in this alternate setting. My other thought would be, I'd love to be the captain of a starship. And since I said a well-established setting, I won't go with like homebrews or anything like that. I will go ahead and say probably one from Star Trek. And as I sit here and think about it, I said I'd pick a winner. I guess if I had the choice, I would go with Star Trek, because I think, as much as I love the setting, I have too much trouble picturing an idealized medieval setting, even though that is the fictional setting. I still just picture lice and cholera and incurable diarrhea and all these other things. And so I think at the end of it, I'm going to go with Star Trek. And also, because if nothing else, going through space is probably a little bit cooler to me than walking through the woods. I like both, but if I had to pick one, I'll take flying through space.
Yeah, I kind of have to go with you on that, Dan. And I don't know if I per se have a favorite.
Letters to the editor of Penthouse.
Oh, now, yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on, Matt. Let me rethink this.
Come on, Matt. You have a holodeck.
Yeah, I know. Well,
who needs letters to the Penthouse? You have a holodeck.
For me, it's going to have to be something in the future, because I'm right there with you. I do not look at the past as an idolized thing, because there was death and disease, short-term life. They didn't have toothpaste, or, you know, they didn't have hygiene.
Not
they
had never even heard of
a fictional fantasy setting, though.
But even then, I'm sorry. Okay, I would not want to be in a fictionalized past setting, because they don't have modern technology. And I want to go into the future because they have better technology than I have now.
Yeah.
That being said, though, pick something more like Star Wars, or, hey, you know what? Because we said it before, maybe even like in the Dune series. That's one of my favorite books. I don't know who I would want to be. I would almost...
That's part of the game. You got to pick, well, at least a role or an archetype.
Dune series? I would pay. In the Dune series.
A Jungian archetype.
In the Dune series, I would definitely be an Atreides or Duncan Idaho.
Duncan Idaho.
Yeah, because...
that's even better than being Narnian.
I've loved
die like 1,000 times.
Because I've loved all my Duncan Idahos. So, yes, absolutely.
That just sounds like a brand of potato chips.
Hey, he's awesome.
Scottish potato chips.
He's the best character in the books. I also like the Jedi, though. So, and that is in the past. That's in the past, but it's that weird thing. So I could be a Jedi from the Old Republic.
Totally the future, even though it's totally.
But for me, I would want to be a Jedi from the Old Republic, not from the Luke era.
Really? Back when they were all political and, quite frankly, in a nanny state sort of way, kind of evil.
Well, at least there were more of them around. I don't know. Yeah.
For a little while.
Well, again. Well,
in the expanded universe, I haven't read any of these books, but I know a lot of people who have. They come back.
I haven't either, so yeah, that's true.
It's not like they're gone for good and Luke's the last one.
I guess that's true.
If I was going Star Wars, I'd be tempted to go with Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Well, see, awesome. I would want to be a Jedi for the because I think the Force is awesome. So I would want to be a Force user.
So you're not allowed to use it for anything. So if you use it for anything, you turn to the dark side.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's say I'd be a gray Jedi then.
A gray Jedi.
I'd be like a gray Force user. I am. That is one of my. I do have a big complaint.
He's a rainbow Jedi.
I don't think I'd be a Sith. I would probably be tempted, but I'm certainly not going to be a prissy, you know, goody two shoes Jedi that doesn't ever do anything. And you know what? If I'm a Jedi back then, I'm going to be. I don't give a shit what they say. I'm going to. That is bullshit. Here's what I want to know. First of all, how do they plan on, you know,
what's the use of all those powers if you can't use it to pick up checks?
And also, how are they going to propagate? How are they going to continue to fill their ranks? I mean, good Lord, look at the Catholics. The Catholics breed their own armies. I mean, so that you need to do the same thing in the Jedi. You
know, that's a great question. If being a Force user is something that has any genetic or familial element, which the whole Luke, Leia, Anakin thing
it's strong in his family.
Apparently says is true. Then, yeah, wouldn't you think you would want your guys to reproduce?
Absolutely.
I mean, certainly under controlled circumstances and strict schools and blah, 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 because if you're trying to maintain control. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, why would you tell them, hey, don't breed? And if you start breeding, you're now one of the bad guys. And then you wonder why you can't stop the flow of bad guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's either Jedi or a Kwisatz Haderach.
I would not want to go with the Kwisatz Haderach.
That's why I wouldn't be one of the Atreides family, because I love the Bene Gesserit, the powers that they have, but obviously I have to be a woman.
The Bene Gesserit are awesome.
Although that might not be bad. You could go with
Faradin.
Being a bald chick?
That is a misconception. That is what's his name's take on the Bene Gesserit, that they're all bald and ugly.
All have huge eyebrows.
Oh, my God.
Didn't understand that one either.
Okay, who did that movie?
I can't remember the movie, but
that was horrible. No,
David Lynch.
The David Lynch, the Bene Gesserit were not. They're not bald.
Have you ever seen the full six-hour version?
I have. I actually own it.
Really?
The director's cut or whatever.
Have you tried lining it up to Dark Side of the Moon?
No, I haven't. Actually, the best take on it is the Sci-Fi Channel did a miniseries.
And that was not bad.
That was very good. I thought the first three books.
I only saw the first one.
They did the first one, and then they did Messiah and Children of Dune. And
the only one of those I saw was Children of Dune, and I actually enjoyed it.
I thought they did a very good job on it. I wish they'd continue.
Definitely a lot more true to the books than the Lynch version.
Yeah.
Nobody shouted into guns.
Oh, God. Yeah, don't get me started. But I like the powers. But that's what I'm going with for now. I'll probably come up with something else,
too. And your name might be a killing word.
That's true.
So so far we have Wayne's an escapist. I'm looking for an interesting setting, and Pat's on a power trip. All right, Johan.
Well, like I said, I'm considering the Grand Admiral Thrawn. That was not a complete joke.
Okay, why Thrawn?
Thrawn is a genius, is why. And I always found the mentally proficient characters to be far more interesting than physically proficient characters in stories.
Okay.
Thrawn is a whole lot more fascinating to me than Drizzt is. Even though he's a bad guy, whatever. He has a goal, and he uses a towering intellect to accomplish it. I found him an interesting character.
So I can't think of the character's name, but I always loved the human antagonist in Gargoyles for that reason.
Oh, Riker.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, I don't remember his name either.
He was voiced by Jonathan Frakes.
And looked like him, too.
Yeah, looked like. But I loved that character because of the fact that, he did have some technology and he did have some power. I mean, like, he had that powered armor, which for no particular reason looked like a gargoyle, which I found annoying. The point being, the mono theme of that series aside, that he always had plans and angles. And
now, being Jonathan Frakes would be an excellent choice too. I'm pretty sure he's a fictional character. And he does get all the bitches, so
That's true.
And that beard.
Awesome. He has a not evil twin that was just a mistake.
Right.
The transport.
I remember
thing.
That one.
That's lower ranked.
Now
than
you
he
raise
is.
An interesting point. Maybe I should go back to Narnia because I'm not real comfortable with the transporter thing because you just can't convince me. I mean, how that works is it
right.
disintegrates you. And
then makes
you.
A new copy of you
it
somewhere else.
It has killed
else.
You.
Yeah.
It has killed you. Why is the one that appears me? Because if I was say to you, I'm going to take your molecules apart, are you dead? Your answer would be, yeah, I'm absolutely dead. You vaporized me. Now I put those molecules back together. Why is that you and not simply a copy of you that believes it is you?
Because your soul was not disintegrated.
Well, that's the thing. If you start with an epiphenomenal view of consciousness or something like that, then yes, you say, well, because the mind and the consciousness are purely tied to the body, then really what's the difference and blah, blah,
and
blah.
And energy is neither created nor destroyed. It just changes state and then it's rechanged, changed back.
All right. So here's my next question. There is a trope within fiction of all kinds, and the trope is called Cursed with Awesome. And I guarantee you that everyone has seen this trope in one form or another. Here are some common examples of it. The character who's immortal wants to die but can't, and they're tired of living. The guy who has superpowers but feels so burdened by them that they begin to depress or distress him. You have someone who has, right there in the palm of their hand, something that we dream about, something that in our fictional characters we just listed, that's what they have. And yet they're upset by it. They're distraught by it. I've heard a lot of people score on that, where if they see the whole cursed with awesome thing, they think it's just total crap. This guy has what everybody wants. What is he whining about? I totally believe it. I think it is absolutely true. I completely believe that if you were immortal, yeah, it'd be great to escape death and feel really good about that for 100 years, 200 years.
Until everyone you know dies around you.
Exactly.
And every relationship seems to last, maybe it lasts 40, 50 years. You've lived 2,000 years. 40, 50 years and the person you're with is dead.
Or you're Superman and you are constantly having to sort out everyone else's problems. And if you've got any conscience about it, you don't always succeed. And so those failures are going to haunt you.
You're
forever.
Superman. You hear everything going on around you. You're at a big public speech and you hear all the people talking up and doing the typical kiss ass thing. And then you hear the people in the back. Can you believe he wears his underwear on the outside of his pants? You're going to hear not just the good. You're going to hear everyone trash yes. talk you. Everyone second guess you. Everyone wonder why you didn't show up to save person A because you were saving person B.
You could only save one or two people. Why did you pick the other one?
Because yeah. I liked him better.
Right.
Yeah. And Wayne, right there, that's another one of, in the case of super hearing is, look, I'm not saying it's right, but it's human nature that even the people we love the most, probably more with the people we love the most, when they're not around, we blow off steam about them. And you know what? We shouldn't do it. We really should be more kind to each other verbally when others are not present. But having said that, those comments are usually not the sum of our view of somebody, but they're probably better off having not heard those comments.
Yeah,
because
you know, even worse,
they would take them more to heart than we would.
Even worse,
to.
If you take a character with mental abilities,
right,
if you don't
that.
Have the ability to shut that off and you're always getting what's going on in people's minds, you don't want to know what's inside most people's minds. There may be things that you find impressive. There may be, you know, this is a very intelligent person. There are dark things within every person's mind. There are things that they don't want you to hear. And you're walking around with mental powers. Yeah, that sounds really cool. You can use that ability to do a lot of things. I think you'd be tortured with it if you couldn't turn it off.
Okay, so is there anyone here at the table who, because I don't buy the whole scorn for Cursed with Awesome. I think Cursed with Awesome is absolutely correct. Is there anyone here who disagrees with me?
I'll tell you what, I don't disagree with you, but what you're describing, it's just an extreme case of what really happens in everyday life, because
yeah.
you're just taking an extreme example of the Superman or the immortal person. But the same thing can be said with ordinary people or normal people that seem to have everything anyway. Like you look at some of the rich people and say they have it all, but you look at them, they're human beings. They have the same thoughts and problems that even more plebeian people have as well. So I think it's just an extension of that. I think it is you're taking it to an extreme to sort of exemplify it. I don't think it compounds it as much as you're saying.
I think
everybody has that.
Right.
I'll take it from another perspective. I have no problem with the character having that. I'm sick of hearing about it. I don't need every story about a character to somehow deteriorate into this is a special character that just wants to be like everyone else. It's an overdone trope. I don't hate the trope. You you know, it's something that does make sense. I'm sick of seeing it.
I wouldn't even mind it being in the story, provided it's not the front and center theme. I mean, if that's somewhere in the character and it comes up in a conversation along the way, I wouldn't care. But yeah, I do agree with you that it is getting to be an overdone trope. And I think part of what's causing that is two things converging. One is a recent revival of interest in supernatural things, particularly like vampires and whatnot. And then the other is the recent revival in the interest in superheroes. And with both of them, in an attempt to humanize them, to make them more relatable, they try and draw out their problems, that it's not all just roses for them. And their problems are that they live forever, that they have super strength. And yeah, they do play it up too much where they just sit there emo whining about their issues as opposed to
personally. I love existential angst. Can't get enough of it.
You know who doesn't emo whine about their problems? Batman, because he's f-ing awesome.
That's right. He just goes out there and does it.
Yeah, he's a doer. He's not a bitchy whiner. It's like, oh, pity me. My parents are dead. No, he goes out and kicks f-ing ass.
Truth. That is always brought up by his enemies or his detractors.
Yeah.
Not by him.
He never, you know, he's never dwelling on it. I mean, you know, at least out loud. Sure, he probably has the bad dreams and the darkness, but he's not going around going, oh, pity me. My mommy and daddy got shot. No.
He's a man of action.
He takes care of it the other way. He's like, you know what? F*** my parents. Yeah. I'm coming for your asses. That's right, motherfuckers.
You got quite a mouth on you this episode, Pat. Wow.
You did tell it was a bonus episode.
I know I did. There's just going to be a whole lot of bleeping. A whole lot of bleeping going on this show.
Be a 50-minute episode with 30 minutes of blank space.
Awesome.
One thing that comes to mind is I think you can bypass a lot of the, oh, I'm so put upon by the demands of society on me for my awesomeness. If you have a villain with supernatural abilities, with superpowers, they don't care. They've got something to do. They've got a world to take over. They've got a slayer to kill. They've got whatever it is that they're doing and piss on the rest of the world.
What if the villain's the one with that, though? I've seen a lot of these things where the villain is the angsty one that's tired of his life, and that's why he has his evil plot. He's not really evil. He's just emo.
You know, I like Douglas Adams. Had an immortal character in one of his books that just popped up briefly. I believe his name was Wowbagger the Infinitely Prolonged, who became immortal through an accident and therefore didn't have the proper capacity for dealing with immortality, rapidly became very bored with his life after the first 1,000 years or so. And so he decided he needed a goal. He needed something to do. So he decided to insult the universe by insulting everybody in it in alphabetical order.
I remember that character now.
It was awesome.
I forgot about it until you went to the insulting everyone in alphabetical
That's
order.
That's awesome. I love that. That's really awesome. It's never ending.
Right.
It's great for him.
Right.
Just when he thought he was done with the A's, some other bastard was born.
We've done the vampire rant on here before, haven't we? Vampires are coming up with the whole emo thing again. I know we have to have ranted about this.
I'm sure we have.
Let's start off with this is coming from the guy with the custom fangs.
And that's my problem.
Yeah.
I like vampires.
He doesn't like where they've taken vampires today.
Right, wait, exactly.
He is not a Twilight fan.
Not at all.
So Wayne stage of the degradation.
And no one should be.
What do you want vampires to be?
Vampires are evil force of nature. They are animalistic. Yes, they can do planning somewhat. They're not political creatures. They don't glow. They don't glitter. They don't sit around having orgies. No, they are monsters, and that's how they should be treated. They are faster than you. They are stronger than you. They have better senses than you, and generally you are outmatched by them in every way, and you are struggling to fight one if you're fighting one.
You know what, Wayne, I'll go right along with you on that. The old medieval view of the vampire, they're not diseased and misunderstood. They're demonic.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are horrific things that ought not be. This is not simply a misunderstood order of people that sit around in dance club feeling sorry for themselves. I mean, this is...
I mean, basically what we have
is... Did you know
I
got threatened by one once?
Really?
I am dead serious.
Oh, I think I remember. I think I remember
Several
this.
Years ago, Mike sends me a URL to a website somewhere. I don't even remember the name of the website, but it was a gathering ground for people who were all convinced they were actually vampires. Now, just to be clear, I don't mean these are people that are goth. I don't mean these are people that are into vampire fiction. I don't even mean that these are people who just like dressing in black and drinking each other's blood and sleeping coffins. I mean, these guys genuinely thought they were the real article, that they could drink blood to live forever, and they had all kinds of superpowers and whatever. I mean, these were people who were genuinely disturbed. And I came onto that website. I don't know why the hell I even did this, but Mike sent it to me. I just couldn't resist. And I decided that I was going to be a step above most of the internet. And rather than just getting on there and trolling them, I tried to genuinely engage a couple people on there. And this was a huge mistake.
But
I tried to genuinely engage a few people on there and say, you know, you're struggling with something, you know, I would wager, and I was right in many cases, that many people come from backgrounds of a lot of abuse and such. You're looking for something that makes you feel powerful, that makes you feel untouchable, but this really isn't dealing with life. You know, this isn't really the way forward. And the unfortunate thing is, when you really challenge the delusions, they tend to respond with anger. You can't reason with the unreasonable. And so there were several people on there that were talking about how they were going to hunt me down and kill me. And I'm like, you have no idea who I am or where I live. But because they were vampires, they would figure it out. Needless to say, I'm still waiting for that visit. But
so I was at the mall the other day, and I go into the bathroom, and there's a kid, teenager or so, up at the counter. I see the box he has sitting there. He's at the sink in front of the mirror. And I recognize the box. He had just bought a set of these custom fangs. And he's there in the bathroom at the mall. He's mixed up the mold for it. He couldn't wait till he got
home.
Oh
my God.
He's molding it, trying to fit it in, and he's got one tooth in, and he's trying to get the other one. And I just stop for a minute as I'm walking past, and I think, man, that brings back memories.
When was this?
This was just this week.
Oh, it could have been for Halloween.
It probably was for Halloween. Still.
But why do it in the bathroom at the mall?
Yeah. Why can't you wait until you get home? I don't know. I guess.
And that's the first thing that came to my mind is I remember when I was doing that. It wasn't in the bathroom of a mall, but yeah, I remember when I was mixing it up and trying to,
a little more decorum,
do the custom fitting.
Wow.
Well, maybe he just lost his fangs earlier and he didn't want his friends to see him without them. So
that could be. That's not a crowd you want to look down on. On you, that is. Let's face it, I didn't actually know the crowd. I was the only one I knew that walked around with fangs. I actually met someone who believed they were a vampire years later, but that was after I was already past that phase. I was one of a kind.
I know someone who thinks he's an elven lord.
I had a guy tell me I'm an elf. Yeah. No BS. I had a guy tell me he was into that whole thing.
Otherkin are awesome, aren't they?
Yes. This was my first introduction to Otherkin. This would have been back probably like in the mid-90s. And I did not even know this whole thing was out there. But
I have no idea what you're talking about.
These
either
are people who believe that they are something supernatural. Now, it could be a variety of things, but one of the little cultures or subcultures within this whole Otherkin thing, there are people out there that believe that they are genuinely descended from elves. And for anyone that's seen me, I'm a tall, lanky guy with high cheekbones, relatively fine features. When I had the long hair, it was very...
Yeah, it does not shock me in the slightest that another kin would tell you that.
And what really surprised me, and I don't remember a lot of it, and I'll recite as best I can, but they had this really detailed worldview. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't just, yeah, we think we're all kind of like out of fantasy. I mean, no, it was really specific. Oh, yeah. That they believed that there was this ancient sort of culture that predated man, at one point existed alongside of it, until they had some kind of a great fall through internal war, where basically they collapsed and the remnants of them sort of scattered. Most of them intermixed with humanity, which is why elven features still pop up in some family lines or some peoples, because traced way back, they are some percentage, maybe some significant percentage, elf. And there are other kin that will do things like that with dragons and such. But I happen to run into a guy who was into this with the elven angle.
Yeah, and there's differing worldviews that they subscribe to explain all of this. One of the common ones that I've heard is that because the population of the world is increasing, and because there are only so many souls to go around, well, when new people are born, those new souls have to come from somewhere. If you're a subscriber to reincarnation, you know, nobody's soul leaves, nobody new comes in. Well, all of these new people have to come from somewhere. So it's these ancient spirits that were dragons or whatever, who are now being reincarnated into human form to fill up the empty spaces in the soul pool. But yeah, somebody introduced herself to me as a Yeti a little while back.
Whoa.
How unflattering.
Right, now, wait a minute, though. I've got to give some credit here. Because usually when people come up with this, they always imagine themselves to be something idealized. When you walk up like, yeah, I'm part Yeti, and you're a chick... This is not self-aggrandizing.
Maybe if they're European.
The least serious approach I've ever heard another kin take to me when they're explaining something like this.
And you're which sure is that she was just pulling your leg? Maybe. Okay. All things possible. Okay. Go on.
The upshot is there is a band near my hometown that is made up of other kin, specifically elven other kin.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted to join this band, and they said, you can't join this band because we only have other kin. And she said, well, are you sure I'm not another kin? And they say, no, clearly you're not an elf. And she said, well, is there such thing as a Yeti other kin? And they said, well, yeah, I bet there is. Well, obviously I'm a Yeti. All right, then.
That's outstanding.
Wow.
That is outstanding.
And she's just been rolling with it ever since. She's no longer with the band, but as far as I know, she still self-identifies as a Yeti otherkin.
All right, so here's one. I don't know anyone who has ever claimed to be this. I've known people who thought they were vampires, not just the ones on the web that website. I've met some face-to-face who thought they were vampires. I've met people who thought they were werewolves. I've met people who thought they were otherkin. Here's one I have never met. And I only first heard the term a very short number of years ago and had to go out and look it up because I did not believe this could possibly be going on until I found it. Have you guys heard of otaku kin?
Oh, yeah.
No. Sounds familiar. What is it?
All right. What otaku kin are? Do you know what otaku is?
Hold on to your chair. Yeah, you're going to love this one.
This one. This is precious. All right. Otaku, if I understand it correctly, and someone may correct me on this one because I may not have 100% right, but otaku is a slang term, and I'm not sure exactly what its etymology is, but it's from Japanese, and it's typically applied to someone who's a big fan of something. Now, as a result, a lot of people, once again, if I understand this correctly, a lot of people that are big fans of anime or Japanese entertainment call themselves either seriously or facetiously otaku. Okay, now so far, so good. You're into Japanese things, whatever, you know, hey, different strokes for different folks. What an otaku kin is someone that decides that either they are the embodiment of an anime character, or there is some kind of recurring spirit whose existence inspired a fictional character, and that is the spirit they now possess.
So they are Sailor Moon.
Exactly. Except typically...
Well, that's okay.
And
I'd meet that one.
Or Naruto or whatever. And they have this whole thing worked out.
Evangelion.
And I remember reading a blog from one of these otaku kin.
If you're otaku kin and writing fan fiction, is it really fan fiction if you're writing it about yourself?
No, it's not
autobiography.
Just say,
go on, Dan.
Maybe it's regression therapy. I don't know. But I was reading this guy's blog where he was going through in great detail his journey as an otaku kin about how... He first decided that he was different than everybody else. Let me bust it to you, kid. Every teenager thinks they're different and special, okay? Welcome to life.
You know, and that's the frustrating thing hearing all this is I think back and it's like, yeah, I understand the mindset of I want to be different. I feel ineffectual in my world. Every teenager feels ineffectual in
their
world.
Human beings exist and we maintain our psychological stability by the delusion of control. That we believe we are in control of our lives and our environments. And when that feeling of control is shattered by some tragedy, by some realization, by whatever, and this happens to everyone. It happens to most people in their teenage years, but it will happen to everyone at some point in your life.
I remember being frustrated and overwhelmed with that feeling of wanting to be something special or more, but I can't imagine getting to that point that I delude myself enough to actually believe that I am an anime character.
Well,
I don't like anime.
He had this real detailed thing he was going through about how he first decided he was different and then how he started working through which anime character he was. And then he started chronicling it. And I don't know, but apparently they have this fairly detailed lore within otaku kin about this samurai's journey you have to go through. And there's different steps of progression. And this got just more and more bizarre as he started talking about the powers that he was unlocking. Like he can actually falcon punch, or I don't know what exactly he was going for. But
it was donkey punch.
You know, that's what I read in all of this. And going back to even the vampire thing, and this is why I made the mistake of trying to reach out to these people, was I said, you know what, that is a ubiquitous human experience to want to be something special, to want to be something significant, to want to have more control than you really do. And with some people, there's a healthy level of fantasy. Maybe there's a certain level of self-delusion, but they basically be going through life. But then there's other people where they just decide at some point in life they are something completely absurd. And
the sad thing is, I really see that I was at risk for that as a teenager. I was overwhelmingly frustrated by the feeling of I should be more, I should be special. And it's one of those things, if a group like that would have gotten their claws into me, I could have gone down a dark path.
Yeah.
And I see that. I don't understand that step. I don't understand the step from I'm overwhelmed, I'm crushed, I'm having mental issues myself, to I am now something else, and actually believing it. The frustration that you're not something, I get that. I 100% get that.
But all you have to do is you have to take someone who's vulnerable to that. And once again, I say this, I know we've been cracking a lot of jokes and making fun, but truth be told, at the end of the day, I don't genuinely scorn these people. I really, more than anything else, I feel an honest sympathy for them. Because in almost every case, you're talking about someone who wants to believe there's something else because something in life has made them need to believe there's something else. And that's what breaks my heart. And that's why I made the mistake, once again, of trying to reach out to these people who thought they were vampires. Because I see people who are hurting, but rather than face that problem, rather than find some healthy way through it, they take the same daydreams I use to escape, but to them it's no longer a daydream. To them it becomes an identity.
You know what I think you did wrong there, Dan? And I just love telling other people what they did wrong. What you did wrong there, though, wasn't that you tried to reach out. It's that you tried to reach out to the whole group. You can get through to an individual, but if you're one man coming in with a dissenting opinion among a group of 20, 30, 40, you're that one crazy outsider that just doesn't get us.
Right. Well, especially when there's now the Freudian defense mechanisms of one person is now multiplied by the crowd, and they now stand as a group.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is impenetrable.
You can get through to a person. You're not going to, as one individual, get through to a whole group. I just don't think with that level of self-delusion that that's possible.
And it's almost as impossible, even on a one-on-one basis. You're not going to have much better luck trying to convince somebody who thoroughly believes that they are a vampire that they're not, any more than you're going to be able to thoroughly convince Wayne that he is. You're trying to completely undermine their basic self-identity, which is not something that you do from just discussion with even somebody that you're close friends with. You can't just undermine their basic identity in the course of a conversation.
In the cases, though, where I've seen a person kind of come back from that, you can wean them away from it by taking away the need for it to be true. Even if you cannot confront them and say, look, you're not an elf.
Right.
You can get them to a point in their life where they understand that they are a special and important snowflake without being an elf.
But you're not going to do that by going up to them and saying, you're not an elf, you're wrong. Which is what it sounds like you did.
Yeah.
Is you walked in and said, you guys are idiots. You're not vampires.
It was significantly,
what are you thinking?
Well, it was significantly more compassionate.
I would all but guarantee that that's how they read it, is the scornful outside world. Which anytime that you're from a fringe group, whatever it is, be it a fringe little piece of society like the other kin or the vampires, or even just an unpopular religion or an unpopular political party, you get the people who are from the outside who just think you're a complete and utter moron for being who you are, for believing what you are. And you get used to a violent defense whenever your beliefs are called into question.
You know, it's really been interesting being on this podcast, being exposed to these concepts that I had never heard of. The vampire people I had met, I knew them. I knew the people that would cut each other and drink each other's blood. I never knew that people thought they were werewolves until talking to Dan and Chad. I didn't know that existed. I had never even... What's that?
There's all manner of...
Therians.
I never...
like the werewolf term.
I never would have.
The ones I knew were fine with it.
Were they?
Therian. Okay. Well, this was also early 90s, so I don't know if this is the Therian thing a recent thing.
That would have been about when it was starting.
So, okay. We just may not have gotten to this group yet.
I never would have thought of the concepts of people believing they're anime characters or other kin or any of that. I never would have thought of the concept of furry porn until this.
In all honesty,
delusion
even
is
other
limitless.
Kin look at otaku kin and go, whoa.
And that really? Makes me wonder, who do they look at and go,
whoa? Furries.
I want to meet that person, because that's got to be, we need to get that person on a bonus episode.
Furries are pretty much on the bottom.
You know, damn it. And what's funny is some of the people that voted this down are still on the show, but nobody will take responsibility for it. The furry LARPing pastor that wanted to be on our show And I'm like, we have got to get this woman on the show. And I got completely voted down.
Whoa, whoa. Who voted you down? I'd have her on in a heartbeat. I would too.
I won't start naming names, but the entire cast at the time unanimously voted me down.
Oh, wasn't me then.
A woman wrote in and said, I'm a furry LARPing pastor.
You know
I'm
what?
Like, done. Next episode. This is what we are talking
you know
about.
What?
And I got a C4 right here. Down.
Damn, Pat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But you know what I wonder about? It's like, I've never seen these groups. You know, I always thought hearing about LARPers, I always thought these guys are the insane people until we started talking to some and we did the round table. And it's like, after that, I get it. I get what sounds fun. That actually does sound kind of interesting. I wonder if there's some of that with these groups where
absolutely.
If we talk to them, it'd be like, okay, it wasn't as crazy as I thought. It's not quite as bad.
It's easy for me to make fun, but let me humanize. Let me really tell you what I see when looking at these people. Let's go all the way back to the start of the episode. I started off by asking you guys and answering myself, if you could be someone else somewhere else, what would it be? And none of us had any trouble coming up with an idea. If anything, the trouble was narrowing it down.
Sure.
Yeah, I had like 7 ideas pop into my head.
We all had other...
And I went with the neurotic guy. What does that say about me?
Nothing the fangs didn't.
No one's shocked.
But we had no trouble coming up with it. And we went on to from there to discuss how we daydream about different things. Maybe in some cases have these little fantasy worlds that we know are fantasy worlds, but they're fairly intricate and fairly developed. Hell, we call them homebrews. And imagine if you were in a situation where you had some extreme amount of social or psychological distress, and all of a sudden your brain is a way of surviving. Your mind is a way of trying to keep the world in order, to keep that delusion of control. Now suddenly you are something else. That fantasy world of, you know what, I think I want to be a vampire because they live forever and they're powerful. And maybe everybody makes fun of them on the street. But in truth, we run the world. We're the ones in control. It's a very attractive fantasy. And now all you need is someone to come along and kind of enable it. Say, well, of course you can't turn into a bat. That's just the wrong view of vampires. Vampires aren't like that. We're like this. And they start correcting your view to slightly more believable things until eventually it moves from the fantasy being attractive to the fantasy being plausible. And once you've bit into the plausible, excuse the pun, it does not take a whole lot to slowly issue from the plausible into the implausible. And by the time that someone really reaches the bottom of that, I don't think they realize the journey they took because they did it in baby steps.
There's a really interesting podcast. I hesitate to bring it up, honestly, but it's actually a podcast on fringe culture. I don't believe it's active anymore, but the hosts were a self-proclaimed psychic vampire and a druid. And they did an early episode on fantasy escapism. And one of the things they actually dealt with was RPGs. And bear with me here. This is a psychic vampire and a druid discussing how to kind of be aware when somebody that you're gaming with might be drifting off into crazy land and how to draw the lines around it. And a really interesting episode, I thought. And it was an interesting podcast in general. Now, there is also a religion based around vampirism. It's a fairly modern one, but the primary practitioners, the inner council, if you will, are all vampires who live in the same little centralized community, and they've got a couple thousand practitioners worldwide.
I know there's a pretty big vampire movement out of New York and a lot of
there is. That's not this one, but yeah, there is a huge one in New York.
There are whole clubs in New York. Like, there's an underground scene of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was watching a thing on the History Channel about thank you, Discovery, for wrecking History Channel. But I was watching a thing on History Channel about modern day vampire cults in New York. And when they interviewed those people, they kind of ran the whole range. Some of them were just people said, yeah, we just live an alternate lifestyle. Mm-hmm. All the way to on the far stream, you had the people who thought they were immortal and had magical powers and whatever. And then, of course, there are all kinds of shades of gray in between of people who thought
to be clear, the people that I knew that identified themselves as vampires, they weren't doing the whole living alternate lifestyle as in they didn't dress all in black or any of that. They did believe that they needed to do this, but they didn't believe they were immortal or that there was anything magical about it.
I guess, I don't know, the kind of one of the strange things about making a lot of these statements for me is that I'm the sort of person that's fairly open-minded. It's a big universe. It's a complex world. I have no doubt there are things out there that we can't explain or have yet to explain, at any rate. But with a great and bizarre claim comes a strong burden of proof.
Yeah.
And
if your proof that you're this person is because you woke up one morning and realized it, that's no proof. Yeah. That's delusion. If your proof that you are, say, an alien is that you cut yourself and you have scales under your skin, yeah, I believe you.
Yeah. I don't know what it is in your background that's led you to need this, but you don't need this. You know, you're a better person than this. You're stronger than this. You don't need a vampire to be a vampire to make it through life. If you are a vampire, great, but I really doubt it. I really seriously doubt it. So,
and I'm going to go ahead and take a few steps back from you and say that if you think you're a vampire and you're still living a well-balanced life, otherwise, go on being a vampire. That's fine. Some people go to church. Some people are vampires. Some people are elves. Why not?
I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up here. I don't know how long this episode is going to run because we danced some pretty fine lines during this recording. So I'm going to have to go back and review it. And I'm probably going to
dance the lines. Yeah. I saw the line like 20 feet behind
me. That's why I think I'm going to have to cut out some significant portions such that this episode adheres to our own rules, because I think we did cross the line several times from talking with concern or with academic interest about certain groups to making religious or pseudo-religious judgment calls. And so I'm going to creatively edit this episode, so it may be kind of short. But nonetheless, it was interesting to record, and I think we needed it because we've done a lot of kind of heavy episodes lately. So I think it was kind of nice just to get out there and just talk about whatever. So
yeah, this one ended up being awfully serious for a bonus episode, though.
It was,
and it didn't quick, start Pat, off make as a penis that joke. Either.
Ah, well done. Oh.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I was... Yeah. Huh?
I'm looking forward to seeing if we offended anyone. I'm looking forward to seeing
the kidding.
Comment.
Of course we did.
It depends on how much got cut.
Which episode are you talking about?
It's going to depend on how much got cut. But you know what? Here's the thing that maybe I shouldn't even throw that gauntlet out there. So, you know what? I think we're just going to go ahead and staunch the bleeding while we can and just wrap this one up here. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in, and we will catch you for a regular role-playing game-oriented show next time.
Bye, everybody.
One episode highly edited.